Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Whoa, now I hear me. I'm not used to talking. I'm used to playing. I make noise. I don't speak a whole lot. Hey, Caleb, throw up that picture I just gave you. Since we got just a few minutes before lunch, I'm going to probably accelerate. I only have 13 pages of notes, so.
Take your time.
Hey, Caleb, do another one, like the first one in the folder. I don't know if you can do that. So there's this tree in my yard, right? And the first time I ever saw the property, this tree caught my eye. I don't know if you can see this right here. There, see how that is? It looks like two separate trees, and it's actually got a perfect right angle in it. Mm-hmm. And the minute I saw that tree, I was drawn to it. Maybe I'm becoming a tree hugger. I hope someday you'll become a tree hugger. But I was drawn to it the minute I saw it, and I don't know why, except that I wanted to figure out what happened to that tree that put it in that position. Because from a distance, it looks like two trees. But if you look close, I don't know where to stand. If you look close at the bottom, quarter of the left side, you can see it's one root system with two separate branches coming out. And the moment I saw it, I just was drawn to it. And I made the mistake of showing it to my nephews. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to jump all over it. And when they jump on it, don't tell my wife I said this, but I'm not worried about my nephews. I'm worried about them busting up my pretty tree. Now, I've looked all around this part of my property and tried to find evidence of a tree falling, a stump. You know, nature leaves evidence behind, right? And I cannot find anything that indicates to me about what made that tree go that direction. You know, when we look at trees, we see knots, we see broken branches, we see bent limbs, some very subtle, some very radical. And I don't know about you, but I don't judge those trees for having bends in them. I don't judge them for having knots in them. What I do is I sit back and I think, Father, what happened to that tree? I like to piece it together. It's like a mystery to me, right? And I never think it's a substandard tree. I think it's just another part of my forest. Right? And it's weird because even though that tree looks broken and maybe even defective a little bit, that's one of my favorite trees on my property. And I've got trees that it would take four of us to wrap our arms around. Mm-hmm. And I love that tree too, but I'm drawn to that tree. I want to read you a passage that put me on this path, okay? And it's actually attributed to a hippie guru named Ram Dass. I don't know anything about him, but I'm assuming he had dreadlocks and he didn't smell good. Right? Anytime I hear hippie guru, I immediately think people who don't use deodorant. But that's another story. When you go out into the woods and you look at trees, you see all these different trees, and some of them are bent and some of them are straight. Some of them are evergreens and some of them are deciduous and whatever. And you look at the tree and you allow it. You appreciate it. You see why it is the way it is. You sort of understand it didn't get enough light, so it turned out that way. You don't get all emotional about it. You just allow it. And you appreciate the tree. The minute you get near humans, you lose all of that. You're constantly saying, you're to this, or I'm to that. The judging mind comes in. And so I practice turning people into trees, which means loving them just the way they are. Wow. That, I don't care who you are, it might be a stinking hippie guru, but that is the message of the kingdom. Amen? Yep. Now, Caleb, put up that meme I sent, gave you. Biologists say trees are social beings. They can count, learn, and remember. They nurse sick neighbors, warn each other of danger by sending electrical signals across a fungal network known as the Wood Wide Web, dad joke alert. And for reasons unknown, keep the ancient stumps of long-felled companions alive for centuries by feeding them a sugar solution through their roots. That's amazing. How many of you have ever seen a tree that looked like it had been falling over for a long time, but you've seen a stump and it's just got life going out of it? How in the world does that happen? Anybody who has been in basic biology knows that a tree is fed through photosynthesis, right? Photosynthesis happens on the surface of the leaves. If there's no leaves, how is this tree alive? It's magic. Maybe Daniel did it. I don't know. But when I think of trees, there's a scripture that comes to mind. Let me go to Mark 8:22-25. And let me set it up here. So Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he got into the ship to cross to the other side of the sea. He had to deal with the Pharisees, and he had to deal with his disciples. And he gets on land, and the first thing that happens is someone brings a blind man to Jesus. And in an interest of sounding biblical, they besought him to touch him and heal him. All right, and here's the scripture. And I hope I can make this link up here. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they said, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him, see, I told you that was biblical, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he spit in his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. He looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again on his eyes, which made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, break this down. In verse 23, he takes the blind man by the hand. When you're studying your scriptures, anytime Jesus takes somebody by the hand, pay attention. Something really big's about to happen. There's several examples. Mark 1:30, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. You can go in and find all those things. So first off, he takes you by the hand. Don't be afraid to let go and hold on to who Jesus is. Yep. Let him take you by the hand. Just see where he'll lead you. Yes. The second thing is he leads him out of the town. Now, something tells me, in order for this young man or this old man, I don't really think they say his age, but in order for him to rise out of his situation, he had to get out literally of where he was. He had to literally just get out of town. He had to get somewhere where he could not focus on him and not focus on everything around him and all the negativity, but focused on who Christ is and who Christ is in this very moment to him. Now, I know that might be difficult for some of you. You're still young. You're in your parents' homes. You might not have that. Have faith. If things are negative, you have the power to change them. You have the power to change your atmosphere. Now, I want to talk about I see men as trees. I feel like I'm hurrying up, but I don't think it. Oh, that's okay. I got 13 pages of notes, remember? Given what we've talked about trees and how we just see them as they are, we appreciate their struggle and all they've done on their journey to survive. Now, what do you think's happening in this moment? Do you think that, first off, it says there Jesus had to lay his hands on them two times. I personally don't think Jesus' prayer the first time wasn't effective enough.
Come on.
I think there's something going on. It's a process to receive that healing for him. Because when he puts his hands on that blind man's eyes the first time, he says he sees men as trees. And here's what I think. Seeing men as trees didn't mean this man's eyes were blurry. I think he was seeing a spiritual picture of these men from Christ's perspective. Perhaps this was more of a spiritual picture for us to see than it was the idea of Jesus needing to pray twice, as his first prayer wasn't effective enough to bring the healing. Surely we know. Say, surely we know.
Surely.
Don't call me Shirley. See what I did there? He just opened the man's spiritual perception first. And I think what he's doing is giving this man a taste of the redemptive work of the cross. See, when he went from being blind to only being able to see maybe in the spirit. And what's the first thing he sees? He sees a tree. Oh, this was just a step on his path to divine healing and divine deliverance. Perhaps our spiritual perceptions are what we need to have opened more so than our natural. You follow what I'm saying metaphorically here? You see where I'm going? See, if we allow our spiritual perceptions to be opened and awakened, perhaps we can see people in the same light and in the same glory that our Father sees us. Right now, we look at that tree and think, whatever you think about that tree. I hope you don't see a tree and hate it. That's a terrible thing. Don't hate the trees. There's no trees. There's no air, man. Yeah. Right? We need leaves. We need trees. Yep. Seeing as God sees makes things appear as they should be, not as they appear in the natural. That means seeing people as redeemed in the righteousness of God, even though they may not have walked in it yet. Before Christ ever died on the cross, he looked at us, and he saw not what we were, but he saw our destiny. And I think this is what's happening to this blind man. Before he gets to, I can't imagine being blind, first of all. I can't imagine how many bruises I would have on my face and my shins and broken toes and, I mean, it would be awful. But to have that moment with your Redeemer, and he says, before I restore your sight, I'm going to show you something even better than what's happening in the natural. I'm going to show you a picture of what's about to happen on this earth and see these men as trees and in the work of the cross. Now, when it comes to seeing people, when it comes to seeing people as the righteousness of God, as someplace, something I struggle with. Any of you who hang out with me know I'm pretty blunt and to the point. I tell it like it is. If you don't like it, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. It's just the way things are. And that is in every part of my life. And when I think about seeing people as they are, I think about some charitable things that I've tried to do in life. Like my... At work, we'll go to different food banks and serve people. Mm-hmm. My company has something called Time to Give. They give us 40 hours to volunteer. So I'm here on volunteer time and still getting paid for it. Woo. And thank you, Lord. That's awesome. But we'd go downtown Baltimore and go to a place called Paul's Place. Now, the first time I went, now at Paul's Place, they feed 300 homeless people every day for lunch. And you have to get a ticket, and you have to have this ticket and hand it to some guy. And I really did not want to be there, right? I may even have some prejudice towards homeless folks, and I'm just being honest with you. It's terrible, and it's something I need to work on. It's probably why I'm talking about it. Yeah. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. But the first time I went to Paul's Place, I walk in, and this dude says, you're going to be my doorman. I'm always the bouncer. Can I just scoop mashed potatoes or peas and carrots, please? So I go to start taking these tickets from people. You know what happened? My hearing aid battery died on me. So there I am in a place I don't want to be, around people that kind of have me feeling insecure. And I'm deaf on top of it, and I'm supposed to talk to them. Holy crap, Lord, what are you doing to me, buddy? It ended up being a fantastic day. It ended up being a fantastic, amazing day. I got to talk to so many people. And yeah, there were people who were jerks with me. But you know how many people were jerks? Probably 3 to 5%. Yeah. And the other 95 to 97% were just thankful that somebody took the time to say hello and good morning to them. And also, as you get older, you'll see it just takes one accident or one bad decision to put you into a spiral where the things that have just been a given to you all your life are now all of a sudden without out of reach.
Yeah.
So I was out heading out for dinner a couple weeks ago, and a fancy dinner, because I went to get my wife some Subway. It was my anniversary. We were splurging. And on the way to Subway, I see this guy standing at the light, and he's, you know, homeless, broke, anything will help. And my first thing, right, remember I told you how I'm a blunt and I'm a jerk most of the time? My first thing is, hey, bro, there's a gas station right there. There's a Taco Bell right there. There's Walmart right there. And there's the Subway I'm going to. That right there is your path to prosperity. And I got up to Subway, and I walk up to the counter to get my wife and I a sub. My heart just is going. You know why? Because sometimes when your heart's beating that fast and you can't figure out why, listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you. He's trying to tell you something.
Come on, that's what it sounds like.
And I was having an argument with the Lord in my mind at this point, right? And I'm like, well, Lord, it's not my responsibility to feed this guy. And I remember, you remember the scripture? I don't have it down. This is where my mind's going right now. But Christ says to Peter, he says, do you love me? Yeah. He said, Lord, you know I love you. Christ's reply was, feed my sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
And I'm standing in line at Subway, and I hear the Lord saying, Clint, do you love me? Dude, stop asking me dumb questions. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. But Lord, have I not blessed you, son? Yes, Lord, you've blessed me. Are you going to miss this $5, son? No, sir. I'm going to feed your sheep. So I bought this guy a sub and a bottle of water and a bag of chips. And I get down to the light and I holler and I say, hey, God bless you, brother. I'm sorry, this is all I can do right now. And he thanked me. And as simple and stupid as that may sound, it was such a humongous personal hurdle for me to overcome. You know, I wasn't looking at that dude the same way I'm looking at this forest and seeing these beautiful trees.
Yeah.
Right? I was seeing a flawed person who had likely made some decisions. He might not have made any bad decisions. He might have had the worst luck in the world. We all know somebody with the worst luck in the world, right?
Yeah.
So, and when I see that guy, I think to him, you know, my wife and I, we've had miscues with our banking. We've had our identity stolen. We've had money missing. That could be me, dude. That could be me. Like that. If that was me, wouldn't I want somebody? If you were so broke, you had to beg at the stoplight at Walmart for a Subway sandwich, wouldn't you hope somebody would have the grace and the courage and the guts to stop by and help you out? You know, in the book of Matthew, Christ tells us that what we've done to the least of the brethren, we've done unto him. When you look at these people that might not be somebody you want to hang out with or spend time with or even minister to, especially that, I want you to recall this. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Things that are in the back of my head when this happens. What I've done to the least of the brethren, I've done as unto the Lord. When I gave that dude a sandwich, you believe I was giving Jesus a sandwich?
Yeah.
And you believe I didn't want to? I thought he deserved to be hungry because I'm a jerk. Cards on the table, right? It is what it is. I told you I was a jerk. I was upfront about that. So, I'm going to wrap her up right here, and I want to read that statement about the trees again, but I'm going to substitute some words. We're going to talk about people instead of trees, all right? When you go out in public and you look at people, you see all these different people, and some of them are crooked, and some of them are straight, some of them are tan, and some of them are whatever, but you look at the person and you allow it, you appreciate it. You see why they are the way they are. You sort of understand they just didn't get enough love, so it turned out that way. And you don't get all emotional about it. You allow it, you appreciate that person. You love that person. And so I practice turning people into trees, which means loving them just the way they are. I just want to encourage you, no matter where you go from here, no matter what your life's like, you will never lose out taking the high road and treating people even in a way they might not deserve to be treated. We look at this I hope you've enjoyed the scenery here in West By God, Virginia. This is a wonderful hill. I love this hill. My life was changed on this hill. I met my wife on this hill. I shot my first skeet on this hill. Been a good time. Appreciate it. Appreciate each other. Treat each other like you would those trees. Amen?
Amen.
Love y'all.
Awesome.